محمد نبينا.
Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim Saturdays will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim Saturdays, 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I am Abdul Hakim Qasim and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today is Saturday, the 9th of May, 2026, corresponding to the 21st day of Dhul-Qa'dah, 1447 AH. It is the third Saturday of the month, the 11th month of the Hijrah year, and that's the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, 1447 AH. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the gift of life and the gift of good health. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We are just some days away from Eid al-Adha. By my count, we should be about 18 or 19 days away from Eid al-Adha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare our lives till then and beyond. Allahumma ameen. At the same time, we also pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to spare our lives to witness and at the same time provide for us and our families to be able to celebrate the Eid. And for those who have embarked on the pilgrimage, or just about to leave, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them journey mercies and accept the pilgrimage from them as an act of worship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease their journey and activities in the Holy Land. Allahumma ameen. You're welcome to Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio 91.7 FM. On this program, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within our society and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. It is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center. Alhamdulillah. All right. This is in partnership with Women Radio 91.7 FM. Allah the Almighty, the Exalted, says in the glorious Quran, "Ba'adhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, fadhkuruni adhkurukum washkuru li wa la takfurun." Allah says, "Therefore remember me and I will remember you and be grateful to me and never be ungrateful." This program is streaming live on YouTube via the Women Radio page. Search Women Radio on YouTube. Click on the page to join to view the studio live. Later on the program, we'll open our phone lines for you to call in and share your thoughts. And the program again is Everyday Muslim, and it is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center in partnership with the management of Women Radio 91.7 FM. We're also using this opportunity to seek your sponsorship and advert placement to sustain this program. We look up to you for your support and assistance in this regard. So bring your products and services, your programs, your events, which you wish to bring to the awareness of the general public. And inshallah, you never regret doing so. So today, inshallah, on the program, we want to look at a very important topic, dhikr beyond the tongue. Dhikr beyond the tongue. Can remembrance truly change your life? Dhikr beyond the tongue. Can remembrance truly change your life? And to lead us through this topic, inshallah, today is in-house guests, a regular face on this program, regular personality, Abu Labiba Imam Taufik Busari Abul Barakat. Ya Imam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is he muted? Imam, you need to raise your voice and probably unmute yourself. We can't hear you right now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum
as-salam
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Naam, alhamdulillah, jazakum Allah khair. Yes, that's clear. So, all right, in case you, for anyone who is meeting Imam Abu Labiba for the first time, he is, like I said, Imam Abu Labiba Tawfiq Busari Abul Barakat. He is the Imam and Director of Darul Sa'ida Islamic Center in Ota Ogun State. He also serves as the Quran tutor at Crescent University at Abeokuta, Ogun State. So today, like I said, we'll be looking at dhikr beyond the tongue can remembrance truly change your life. When we talk about dhikr, it is something many of us are familiar with. We say it after Salah, we repeat it during the day. Sometimes it even becomes part of our routine. But for many people, it stays just on their tongue. The words are there, but the impact is not always felt. The remembrance is there, but the heart still feels restless. So this raises an honest question. Are we truly remembering Allah or simply just repeating words? Because dhikr was never meant to be empty. It was meant to soften the heart, bring peace, and transform the way we live. So on today's episode of Everyday Muslim, we will explore what it truly means to remember Allah beyond the tongue and whether dhikr can truly change a person's life. So, Imam, let's start from where many people are today. They say, I make dhikr, but nothing seems to change. Is the issue with the dhikr itself or how we are engaging in it?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. All praises be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, who beseech his blessings upon the noblest of mankind, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, his household, companions, and all those that tread his path to the day of reckoning. It is my pleasure in your midst again, sharing the words of Allah. May Allah reward you all abundantly. May Allah take you from impact. And all the presenters, the hosts, may Allah reward you all abundantly.
Amen.
When we talk about dhikr, it's a general statement referring to remembrance of Allah. When we talk about dhikr, reciting the Quran is dhikr, doing dua, that is supplicating to Allah, is a form of dhikr, na'am. Chanting words of remembrance of Allah is also a form of dhikr. You remembering Allah, being conscious of Allah as you carry out duties, you remember Allah that, I'm not meant to do this, I'm meant to do this, is also remembrance of Allah. Also, as you engage in your daily activities, you're going out, you're coming in, you're undressing, you're wearing clothes, you're wearing shoes, all our activities are surrounded by dhikr.
No.
Everything surrounded by dhikr. But the challenge we have is not with the dhikr.
Hello, Imam. Okay. All right, okay. We seem to be having some technical hitches with the network of Imam there. So Imam was actually trying to explain to us the concept of dhikr. And there and then, if you actually pay attention, he was talking about the fact that dhikr is a very comprehensive word that encompasses a lot of different things. What we chant in our mouth, like acts of, supplications. For example, you're probably saying your subhanallah, your alhamdulillah, your la ilaha illallah, your istighfar, the words of dhikr. At the same time, you even supplicated to Allah, invoking Allah, praying to Allah is also a form of dhikr. Hello?
Hello, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Somebody gave me a number that you are a man of God. Oh, I need prayer for healing. Oh, I better pray for me that God should heal me, please.
Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will heal you of all your infirmities, of all your challenges. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you abundantly, bless your family, help you ease your affairs, help you to overcome your challenges. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help you to... Wa alaikum as-salam to ya imam. All right. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you to overcome those issues. Thank you very much for the call. All right, so Imam, you're back. Alhamdulillah. So you were explaining the concept of dhikr, and you told us that it entails our supplications, those things that we chant, reflecting over, our actions while we do them, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can continue, please.
All right. So the problem is not with
the dhikr.
The dhikr. It is actually with the doer of the dhikr.
Allahu Akbar.
So most of us, we engage in dhikr absent-minded. We are only having it on our tongues, but no reflection on what we are saying. We are not reflecting on what we are saying at all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, let me give you a story that happened during the time of the Prophet, during the time of the companions, to buttress this.
Okay. Imam, probably just hold on a bit. Imam, just hold on. This is just to inform our listeners that it's not yet time for you to call in. We would open the phone lines when it is time. So right now, let's even allow the Imam to actually, provide a premise upon which we can actually base our calls or whatever requests that we want to make via the phone line. So for now, please let's take our time to listen to what the Imam has to say. The phone lines will be open very much later. So please stay with us and let's enjoy and understand what the Imam is trying to explain. All right, so Imam, you can go ahead. So you're talking about the example during the time of the companions of
yes.
the Prophet.
Yeah. An incident happened between Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas and Uthman, Sayyidina Uthman. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas passed by Uthman. And he said taslim to Uthman, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. And Uthman did not respond and was looking at him like this directly. And Uthman did not respond.
Allah Akbar.
He said it taslim again. Uthman did not respond. Sa'd got angry and went to complain to Sayyidina Umar. He went to report the situation. I've been greeting Uthman, and he was looking at me, but did not respond.
Allah Akbar.
Then Uthman sent for Uthman.
No.
That what happened? Why your brother greeted you, but you didn't respond? He said he greeted me. No, he did not greet me. He said, but I greeted you. You did not greet me. But you were looking at me. I said you did not greet me. After a while, Uthman just recalled. He said, astaghfirullah. It seems it would be when I was busy doing something. One thing I noticed is that anytime I keep chanting that particular dhikr, that particular remembrance of Allah, I get disconnected from my environment.
Allah.
I don't get to know what's happening around me again. I would be completely into that dhikr. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas now told him. He said, the person that's angry, he said, I know the dhikr you are talking about. He said, the dhikr is La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalim.
Allahu Akbar.
This is a statement that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that nobody says it. Dua uzinun. They call it dua uzinun.
the dua of Yunus. That's Prophet Yunus. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, nobody chants it on an issue, on a particular calamity, on a particular challenge, except that Allah takes care of everything for him.
Allah Akbar.
But now, is the problem the adhkar or the dhikr or we that we are doing it?
It's certainly those of us that are doing it.
The way that they do it then, is it the way we do it now?
Allah Akbar.
They will do it, will not chant a lot before they realize the effect of it. But we will chant a lot and will not see the effect. Why? Because we are not connected with what we are saying.
Allah Akbar.
That's the challenge.
All right. Okay.
That's the challenge.
All right. So
now, may Allah guide us.
Allahumma, I mean, just because you talked about this connection now. So we say it, maybe we're disconnected. So just like someone that is on autopilot, you know, the tongue is active, but the heart is absent. So what can we say is responsible for this disconnect? And how does someone move away from just saying it to actually feeling it? So that at the end of the day, we are connected and not disconnected as we chant the adhkar. Oh. The network has been unfriendly today. It's a challenge. All right, so okay, we have someone on the line. Hello?
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 Hello, good morning. Pastor, I am the woman that just spoke with you not quite long that you should pray for me.
All right, so Imam, you're back.
All right, I think the connection is just tripping off. I don't know.
It's fluctuating.
Actually. So I couldn't hear your question.
Yeah, you were talking about the fact that, compared to the people of yesterday, so we do the dhikr, but we are disconnected. So I'm asking, so what exactly causes this disconnect? And how can we move away from the doing dhikr that is disconnected to becoming a dhikr that we ourselves, we feel it as we do it, we get connected to it? So how do we go about it?
We can go about this firstly by being intentional about what you want to do. Number one, when you want to do dhikr, put aside everything that you want to do. If there's a task you need to quickly complete the task and focus.
Okay.
Focus on what you're doing. Most of us would be doing dhikr and be busy on Facebook, busy on social media, and yet you are doing dhikr on one side.
Hmm. Watching TV.
But your mind is focused on the social media app you are using. You can't achieve the two together like that if you want the effect to be on you. Another thing that will help us have a strong focus is to understand what we are saying. Knowing the meaning of what we are saying. Try to know the meaning, because as you are saying it and you know the meaning, it will help you to reflect and meditate on what you're saying. Then number three is that we should know the benefits of saying what we are saying.
The reward accruable to us, or the value.
Exactly.
The benefits. What will I achieve? Attached.
The benefits attached. What will I achieve if I say this? What will I achieve if I say this? What is the benefit if I say this? Then that will encourage us, because we want that thing achieved. We are interested in the result. We are interested in the benefits. So it will make us focus and look forward to getting it.
Okay. Now, I love, but let me quickly ask this kind of follow-up question, because you're talking about the fact that one of the things you said that causes this disconnect is the fact that we don't know the meaning of what we say. We are Nigerians, a lot of people, you know, we are not Arabs. We don't understand Arabic language. So can we say some of these, remembrance in probably a language that we understand, probably in English language or in Yoruba? Because I feel like if I'm saying it, I know if I want to pray, if I want to request from Allah subhanahu a particular thing in my mother tongue or in a language that I understand very well, like English that I'm using now, I can easily request what I want based on what I need, and my heart will be there as I'm saying it. Oh Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me my shortcomings. Oh Allah, forgive me my shortcomings. Compared to just saying astaghfirullah. And probably I don't even know whether astaghfirullah means forgive me. I just so that if you want to seek Allah's forgiveness, say astaghfirullah. So can we use another language that we are comfortable
with? We can use another language if it is just supplication. If dhikr is just for you to ask Allah, supplicating, you are supplicating and making dua,
okay,
you can use your language.
Mm.
But if it is remembrance of Allah, if it is to serve, because there are some statements, they serve as dua, supplication, and they serve as adhkar, remembrance of Allah.
Okay.
When you are using them as adhkar, remembrance of Allah, you cannot use another language.
Allah.
You have to use them in the language that has been recommended.
Okay. Okay.
Just like the Quran now. You read the Quran as a form of remembrance of Allah. It has to be read in the language that is being revealed. You can only use other language to understand what you are reading.
Reading. To study it.
To study it.
But so when it's for remembrance. Salah, okay, okay.
When you are praying and you get to rukur, you say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. You cannot change Subhana Rabbi al-Azim to glory be to my Lord the Great. No, don't say that.
Okay.
You have to say that Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. But you need to know the meaning by studying, by moving closer to scholars that will teach you. Okay. Anytime you have been taught a particular dhikr, then request that you know the meaning. They to give explanation, further explanation to you, so that your mind would be attached to it. One of the things that we do that affects us is that we want to do a lot of things at the same time, a lot of dhikr at the same time. You know, you have listed 1001 dhikr that you want to cover, so it's not making you are in a hurry,
and you don't have time.
It's just one you want to do. Now you want to do it 1,000,000 times. Sincerely speaking, there will be no itqan in it. There will be no perfection. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that Allah loves that if you want to do something and you itqinahu, for you to do what, do it perfectly. If a servant wants to do something, Allah loves that he does it perfectly, with perfection. So when you are saying Subhanallah, 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 not Subhanallah, you are not saying Allahu Akbar. You are saying Lakbar. You can see. How can this have an effect on you? Allah. You have to say Allahu Akbar. And you are saying Lakbar.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Alright. Because I'm getting this now, and it's making a whole lot of sense, because the attention should not be on the quantity, but the quality of the connection that we have with our Lord. Alright, good. I know quite what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah bi dhikri la tatma'inna al-qulub. Verily, with the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. And yet we have a situation where people say that even after doing remembrance, we still feel anxious, our hearts still feel heavy after making dhikr. What are we missing here?
When the heart still feel heavy after doing dhikr, that means there is a disconnection. you didn't do it well.
Okay.
Or there is no consistency.
Mm. Once in 20 days.
Allah loves that whatever you do, no matter how small, it should be consistent. Mm.
Regular.
You have to be consistent with it. Mm. You do it consistently and you feel the impact.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just a one-go thing and you feel that should be all. No.
Not an occasional thing.
Not an occasional thing.
All right. Okay, fine. Now, so if a dhikr is done properly, because now we are talking about doing it properly, what does it do to a person in real life, not theoretically now? So if the dhikr is done properly, what should actually, what should it do to the person? How should the person manifest it or reflect, or how would it be reflected in the life of the person? And looking at this, how should it begin to probably shape our thoughts, emotions, and daily decisions if we do our dhikr properly?
Before I answer that, please, I want to say something still on the last question.
Okay.
On why some people have delay in seeing the effect of
the dhikr.
It's just like, let me use this verse of the Quran that Allah said, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُ.
Allah Akbar.
Scholars interpreted this into two ways. They said, Allah said, if not that, he is part of those that glorified Allah.
No.
That is, part of those that glorified Allah at that time that he found himself in the problem.
Mm.
He would have remained in that problem till the day of judgment.
Mm.
The second interpretation, which is not far from the first one,
mm-hmm.
is that if not that he is known to be amongst those that remember Allah consistently,
regularly.
He would have remained in his problem till the day of judgment.
Allah Akbar.
So it's just like somebody having a problem now and rushing to the ATM to insert ATM machine into the ATM and said, I have a financial problem now. Quickly press the code, let money come out. If you did not put money there, money will not come.
You must have saved ahead for the rainy day.
Exactly. How rich is your Akhira bank account? How rich is your dhikr account with Allah?
Allah Akbar.
Do they recognize your voice in the heavens?
Allah Akbar.
If your voice is recognized in the heavens, if you find yourself in problem, you won't say a lot of remembrance of Allah before they come to your rescue. Just like this same person, Nabila Yunus, as he found himself in the belly of the fish, in the deep part of water, swallowed by another fish, being taken around by the fish, he was chanting. After listening, he heard all the dwellers of the water, the aquatic habitats, they were chanting, remembering Allah. And he kept saying, La ilaha illa anta, subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. But from a distance, it's recorded in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya that angels were hearing his voice, but very faint, from a distance, from a location they don't know him to be. They had to ask Allah that there is your servant, there's one servant of yours, we can hear him chanting your remembrance. But from a far distance and a location we don't know that voice to be coming from. We don't know that voice with that location. Who is that servant of yours, Allah, that is saying this? He said, it is Yunus.
Allah Akbar.
Allah now said, it is Yunus. Then they supplicated on behalf of Yunus that, oh Allah, please remove him from his calamity.
Allah Akbar.
Do they know your own voice in the heavens? For them to recognize that this is so person, calling Allah again at this time. Let us pray to Allah on his behalf.
Allah Akbar.
So most of us, the Prophet advised that, he said, Ta'arraf ilallahi fi rakhai ya'arifuka fi shidda. Identify with Allah when you are in prosperity, Allah will identify with you in adversity. Identify yourself with Allah in prosperity, then Allah will identify with you in adversity. But when you come to Allah only in adversity and not in prosperity you forget about Allah. It will affect the effect of what you're saying, what you're chanting, to bring you out of the challenge.
Allahu Akbar. All right.
I hope my point is clear.
Very, very clear. Very, very clear. Jazakum Allah khairan for, you know, that. Now, so what exactly should dhikr do in our lives? Really? So what effect should it have on, you know, on us?
What are the effects of dhikr in general? Each dhikr has its own individual effect. But in general, dhikr helps to purify the heart. You know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the heart gets rust. Gets rust, like an iron rod gets rust. The heart also gets rust. What, for you to, the anti-rust you do for an iron is for you to lubricate it, right?
Yeah.
You put a lubricant to that's an anti-rust. The anti-rust for your heart, for your soul, is remembrance of Allah. Reciting the Quran. Remembrance of Allah. That is the anti-rust for your soul. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when explaining the verse in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, he said, "Kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun." He said, when you commit sin, when you commit a sin, it creates an imprint on your
heart,
on your soul, or your heart. It creates an imprint, a dark one. You create, you do another one, that one too creates the same thing. Till if you continue like that, the entire soul and our heart will be engulfed with that imprint. So he said that is the ran that Allah refers to in Surah Al-Mutaffifin. That kalla bal rana ala kulubi. You can find ran across all their hearts. But what now helps to take away this imprint? It is repentance to Allah. Repenting to Allah, seeking Allah's forgiveness, will be helping to remove the effects of this of these sins on your heart and on your soul.
Okay. Now, let's look at this. I know that we've been talking about how people do adhkar. So I want you to be a bit practical here. And I want to ask this. Tell us which is better. Making a small amount of dhikr with our presence, our conscience there, or a large amount without much focus. And realistically, how can a busy person with all the vicissitudes of life they were going through, these challenges, how can a busy person build both consistency and sincerity when it comes to dhikr? So it's a two-in-one question, actually.
I will answer the first aspect with the hadith of the Prophet
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam
and an incident that happened during his time. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going for Fajr prayer. He saw one of his wives, Juwayriya. He saw her chanting at Kaf. And the Prophet went to the masjid, he prayed Salatul Fajr. After Salatul Fajr, the usual practice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that if he's in the masjid, if he goes for Fajr, he will remain there, do adhkar till sunrise. Then after sunrise, he will observe two rak'ah of sunrise, which is called Salatul Ishraq. Then he will turn to people, listen to their concerns, address them. So after that, he returns back home. And the Prophet returned and still met that his wife, still doing the same thing. The same way he left her when he was going. He now said, is it the same thing you've been doing while I was going that you are still upon until now? She said, yes. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I have said 4 statements 3 times today. I have said 4 statements 3 times today. There is no amount of statement you want to say that will surpass the effect of those 4 statements said 3 times.
Allah Akbar.
And what's that? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi wa ridha nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midada kalimatihi.
Allah Akbar.
He only said it 3 times. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi wa ridha nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midada kalimatihi. What number do you want to actually chant that will surpass this? None. It says, it means that subhanallah bihamdihi, I'm glorifying the praise of my Lord adada khalqihi, in the number of his creation. Do you know how many creation Allah has?
Number of creatures are uncountable. Are you talking about human beings?
So the pleasure of his heart.
Allah Akbar.
Wazinata arshi, to the beautification of his throne.
Wamidada
kalimati, and to the number of his words. Isn't it the same words of Allah that Allah said, Kullaw kana al-bahru midada li kalimati rabbi. Lanafida al-bahru qabla an tanfada kalimati rabbi. Walau ji'na bimithlihi madada. Allah said, if you use the entire Kullaw kana al-bahru, the sea, the ocean you have, if they turn to ink that wants to be writing the statement of Allah, be rest assured that those sea will finish before the statement of Allah will finish. In another surah, in Surah Luqman, Allah said, if you decide to go and to change all the trees to become pen, and you bring 7 seas or oceans to serve as ink, to be writing the statements of Allah, the words of Allah, the 7 seas will get exhausted. You will bring another 7, they will get exhausted. You will still bring another 7, they will get exhausted, and the statements of Allah has not finished.
Allah Akbar.
And you are saying, I'm glorifying Allah in the extent of the number of his statements. Allah. What do you want to chant? So it's for us to understand what we are saying. If you understand it, you don't need to sit down and say you want to do 1 million and kimika. The Prophet never chanted 1, beyond 100 that we have seen. 100 is the maximum. That's why he uses it. It's easy to use your finger to do adhkar. Because the maximum is 100. So, but you sitting down to do will make you lose focus. Some people will just sit down, will just be dragging the counter, dragging it, without even chanting anything, just dragging the counter. Or somebody will just sit down, close the mouth, shut the mouth, and will just be counting. You're saying, I'm doing it with my heart. No. Dhikr is both with the heart and the tongue. Your heart must be active, your tongue must be active. So we need to connect, have this strong connection with what we are saying, rather than just counting numbers. May Allah guide us.
Allahumma ameen. All right. You have been listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7 FM. We will go on a short break. When we return, the program will continue. Please stay with us. All right, you are still listening to Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. This program is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, Impact, in partnership with Women Radio 91.7 FM. And today we are discussing Dhikr Beyond the Tongue, Can Remembrance Truly Change Your Life? And our guest discussant is Imam Abu Labiba Tawfiq Busari Abul Barakat. He is the Imam and Director of Darul Sa'idah Islamic Center in Ota, Ogun State. He also serves as a Quran tutor at Crescent University, Abeokuta, Ogun State. You can be a part of this discourse by calling the number 07000-917-917, 07000-917-917. The toll-free line for the female callers is 0800-1235-917, 0800-1235-917. So the phone lines are open now. You can call in to ask your questions and seek further clarification. You can also send a message to us via SMS or WhatsApp through the number 08155-917-917, 08155-917-917. Program again is Everyday Muslim, and it's brought to you by Muslim Public Affairs Center in partnership with Women Radio 1.7 FM. We're also waiting for your advert placement and sponsorship to sustain this program. We look up to you for your support and assistance. We are will do abundantly as we do this. Again, the program is streaming live on YouTube via the Women Radio page. Search Women Radio on YouTube. Click on the page to join in to view the studio live, and also send your comments if you have any. So right now, we are moving very close towards the closing line. All right, so Imam, there is this situation that we usually experience, and that is the fact that people tend to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in adversity. Now, but once things improve, once the affliction is over, and they now probably find themselves in prosperity, usually the dhikr reduces. So what does that reveal about our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how can we truly break that cycle so that it becomes something, like you have said, something that is regular and not something that is occasional or only when we are in adversity?
In fact, listening, limiting your remembrance of Allah to only when you are in adversity is a way of telling Allah that, oh Allah, always make me to be in adversity. That always let me be in adversity, because that's the only time I can remember you. And Allah wants you to remember you.
That's deep.
Allah wants you to remember you. So what it means is that if that's the only time you'll be remembering Allah,
then you continue to have
adversity.
Then let's
always give you one challenge or the other. Allah. As you are finishing one, we'll give you another one. As you finish one, we'll give you another one. Since that's the only thing that would make you remember Allah.
Allah Akbar.
But if you remember Allah in prosperity, even remember Allah more in prosperity than in adversity, then it's a way of telling Allah that
give me more prosperity.
Being in prosperity makes me remember you more.
That's
so
deep.
That's one of
that's deep.
That's one of the effects. Because what brings challenge? Allah wants to hear your voice sometimes. Okay, Allah is just like somebody on top of a building. He sends 1,000 naira downwards. He's trying to call attention of somebody down. He sends 1,000 naira. The person just picked it, he didn't look up. He sends 2,000, he didn't look up. He just picked it. See you, free money. I'm just enjoying my life. He sent 5,000 naira. He didn't look up. Okay, he sent $20,000. He still did not look up. He only picked it and continued enjoying it. This life is sweet, though. This life is this, oh. Okay. And he decided to pick stone and throw at you. And he picked the stone and threw at you. Then you now look up. Who threw that stone? I'm trying to call your attention. So when Allah keeps you in prosperity and you are not turning to Allah, He will use adversity to call you back to Him. To call you back. He wants to hear your voice in dua. He wants to hear you remember Him, because He has actually created you to remember him.
Yes.
I created you for no reason except that you remember me. You worship me. So you are not worshiping, then I'll call you in a way to make you worship me. So Allah, one of the reasons Allah give calamity to people is to call them back. As they are straying away, he will call them back with adversity and make them sit tight upon his way.
All right. Okay. Now, because what you have just said now, really, especially the analogy that you made, sincerely, it's touched me. And that's the fact that Allah wants our attention and he wants us to pay attention to him. And we seem heedless. So if with all his favors, his bounties on us, we fail to remember him, I only turn to look up to him in adversity. And then sincerely, we are only saying adversity pays us better than prosperity.
Exactly.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from adversity. Allah, mami. All right. Yeah. So let's look at this. I know that if dhikr truly is working in someone's life, I'm sure it shouldn't be hidden. So what are the visible signs in probably attitude, character, behavior, interaction with people that really shows that this person is actually being transformed by the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Somebody that remembers Allah so much will have strong trust in Allah. In things that people fear, people not fear, they say, how am I going to go about this? You will see him calm. You will see him very calm. You will see him composed, as if everything is settled. And he knows it's settled because he has Allah. That's one of the effects of remembrance of Allah. Even if it remains just a little time like this, for it to look like, this thing is over, you still have that trust and that confidence that Allah will do this. And he will surely do it. Because those that remember Allah, they are allies of Allah. And if anybody is ready to wage war against them, Allah will be the one to take up the war. Allah said, "Man a'ada li waliyan faqad adantuhu bil harbi." When I say Allah says, I don't mean the Quran, through Hadith al-Qudusi.
Yeah.
So, "Man a'ada li waliyan," whoever takes my ally as an enemy, faqad adantuhu bil harbi. I'm declaring war against him. I'm declaring war. So you become an ally of Allah. The ma'iyah of Allah will be with you. Allah will always be with you. Allah will always grant you tranquility. Those are the physical effects. You'll be tranquil. You might have little. To you, you have little. To people, they will see it as something very big because the barakah of Allah is in what you have. So barakah of Allah will continue to enter what you do, what you have, your business, your activities, your home, your wives, your children, everything about you. So people will be saying, praising you, saying a whole lot of things about, but you just be wondering, I'm not as you are saying it. It's the effect of dhikr, remembrance of Allah.
All right.
Shaitan will always stay away from me.
Allah Akbar.
Will be afraid of me. Will always declare to his company that avoid this person, is under the protection of Allah. You need the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to have things done. And that mercy of Allah will always be with you through your dhikr. Things people are doing and they are finding them difficult to do, you'll be doing them with ease and you see nothing difficult in them. When tasks are difficult in your office, they will say, take it to Mr. Lagwaja, he will solve it. And he will see you. They will just be asking you, how do you do it? The most difficult tasks are always transferred to you, and you do them seamlessly, as if it's He too cannot explain. It's the effect of that car. Because you already believe that you don't, your power cannot solve anything except if Allah does. So just me saying Bismillah before starting anything brings barakah. When we say Bismillah, what does it mean? At-tahassun bismillah, at-tabaraku bismillah, astainu bismillah, and like that, like four different meanings.
Allah Akbar.
Meaning that I am seeking barakah with the name of Allah. I'm seeking protection with the name of Allah. This thing, I cannot do it myself. I'm seeking assistance, help with the name of Allah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even if you want to tie the lace of your shoe, ask Allah to assist you. Because your power cannot tie it.
Allah.
How about other things? So, but once you remember Allah frequently, difficult tasks will look easy. Allah will make them easy for you. Allah will make them easy. You just pass as if it's just a normal thing, and people will be finding it difficult. So your entire life, there will be barakah in your age, because you see, it's a different thing to spend a lot of time, having a lot of years spent in life, and it's another thing for that number of years to have barakah, or barakah in time, in your time. If there's barakah in your age and in your time, you will achieve a lot of things within short time, and people will be wondering, you said, how old is this person? And he did this. How is he able to put all these things together? If you read stories about our scholars, you wonder, as Imam An-Nawawi is, you will see that he never passed the age of 40, around 40 when he died. And look at all his achievements. Somebody that lived 100 years cannot achieve what he has achieved. What's the meaning of that? Barakah in his age and time.
Absolutely.
Allah would put barakah in your age, will put barakah in your time.
Okay.
24 hours, you achieve within 24 hours what some people achieve within a month.
All right. Okay, jazakallah khair. So on a final note now, speaking directly to that listener right now, who feel like, I make dhikr, but actually don't feel anything. No sweetness, no connection. Where do such a person start from? Practically and sincerely to express dhikr the way it is meant to be.
Thank you, you dear listener. Do not despair in the mercy of Allah. If you have been chanting dhikr and you find it that you are not enjoying the sweetness of it, you are not seeing the effect of it, then relax. You need to check back. There is something you are doing wrongly regarding the dhikr. It's either you are not chanting them well, you are not saying the exact thing that you are meant to say. It's either you are disconnected from the dhikr, your heart is not connected. You need to get connected. Put aside distractions. Put aside your phones. Put aside things that could distract you. Focus on Allah. Talk to Allah as though you can see Allah. As if you are seated in front of Allah and keep chanting, talking to Allah. It's not about how much you do, but what's the quality of what you're doing. So understand it well, chant it well, and have full conviction, trust. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Udu' Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba." You call Allah while you're full of certainty. Be certain. Don't doubt what you're saying. don't doubt that with this one work, with this my entire problem, you really told me to go and be saying Hasbunallah anyone. Okay. Maybe you didn't hear what I said. Ordinary Hasbunallah for this entire problem. Ordinary Hasbunallah. No. Never say that. Never say that. Have that full certainty. And there's something we call al-ilha'u in remembering Allah. That is persistence. You must be persistent, you must be consistent, you must be insistent. You must be persistent, you must be consistent, and you must be insistent. On that dua, just keep doing it. Keep saying it. Say it in Fajr, Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. And once you're doing it, have that conviction that it's established, and Allah will put barakah in what you're doing. You'll see the sweetness of it. You'll see the barakah of it. If anybody tells you that dua is not accepted, adhkar is not accepted, it's a lie. We are living witnesses of what we are saying. Because we are living witnesses of just the mercy of Allah. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum Allah khairan ya imam. All right, I'd like to appreciate you for the insights that you've shared, and I believe our listeners have listened. In fact, if you probably miss out everything that has been said today, just take this. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prosperity, and He will remember you in adversity. So have an adhkar bank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Allah conscientiously. Put your mind in it. Leave all distractions. Close your mind at every other thing when you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and wait to see what Allah will do. All right, so on this note, we'd like to thank Imam for the insight that he shared. We'd like to thank all our listeners at the same time, and to those probably who tried to call him. Let's also use this opportunity. We want to wish Hujaj, those on the pilgrims who are going to Mecca, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them hajj mabrooran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the hajj from them. And for those of us that are home, let's stay within our means. Yes, we know Eid al-Adha is coming. Don't steal. Don't, get a loan or steal or find it, engage in unscrupulous activities just because you want to buy a ram. You don't. Only do that when you have the means. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide for us. And those that are going on hajj, ensure you have enough provision for the people that you're living at home. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our affairs. You can listen again to this episode or other previous episodes of Everyday Muslim on mpac-ng.org. Scroll down and click on mpac project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episodes. Follow Everyday Muslim on social media, Facebook Everyday Muslim and Instagram Everyday Muslim 01. Inshallah, the program will make its way back to your airwaves next week, same time, 11 a.m., same station, WFM 91.7 FM. I remain Abdul Hakim Qasim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is Rahim, Allah is.